coming to you from the top of the SmartWorks Tower. Nestled between the massage parlor and donut shop in beautiful downtown Red Bluff, it's the PenPals.Buzz podcast. Need a genuine connection? This is the place to learn how a pen pal can change your life. And, oh yeah, they just happen to be in prison. But Big Steve will never judge. He's open-minded, he's a little quirky, and he's ready for another adventure. So get your postage stamps, grab a pen and paper, and get comfy for 30 minutes of pen pal pleasure. Now, here's your host, Big Steve.
Just a few days away from Thanksgiving now. I can't even believe, I mean, I felt like October blew by, and now it's November is almost gone. We're going to be singing the Christmas carols here really soon. I'm curious, though, about those of you that can hear us, that are listening to us from a jail or a prison. I know a lot of people can listen to the podcast through their tablets, and I'd love to hear what they're doing for you for Thanksgiving as far as, you know, a special meal or anything along those lines. What do or don't they do? Do you get turkey? Is the turkey, you know, that pressed stuff, or do you get like an actual bird? Call us and let us know what they're doing for you. We'd love to get you on here, 888-273-6725, or hang on a second. I got to get this thing adjusted. Every time I'm talking, in my, you can just hear the, as I'm talking, it sounds like I'm a turkey. It sounds like that, right? Like, So I don't know about this music. I asked for some Thanksgiving theme music, the AI robot, and he gave me this. I'm not sure. I don't feel the turkey and stuffing and cranberry sauce and sweet potatoes when I hear this. When I think of like a fancy airport lounge, maybe in Dubai, and they're selling some Turkish coffee and some of those square treats, I forget what they call them, but they're good, and it's way too fancy for me, and I'm feeling uncomfortable. I'm not thinking Thanksgiving here. I want to hear that. See, there we go. That's much more realistic. So 888-273-6725. We'd love to get you on the show. I'm excited talking to, speaking of Thanksgiving, has nothing to do with Thanksgiving, but Amy from Arizona, she's calling in here in just a little bit. She writes to about a dozen inmates. She has a bunch of pen pals. And it's interesting because she was listening to an earlier episode where we interviewed Trent Buddida, who, yes, believe it or not, got sentenced to over 16 years in prison for selling 1 ounce of marijuana. And he's still there. And we talked to him back in August. She heard the episode and she contacted us and wanted to share some more of her thoughts. She actually works in the marijuana industry and has some opinions about the fact, I mean, who doesn't? The fact they're locking up people for decades, 16 and a quarter years or something Trent got, you know, for essentially selling an ounce of marijuana. It's crazy. She's going to be calling, and she's also got some opinions for the women out there who might be hesitant or afraid, who don't, you know, necessarily want to write to, maybe they think they want to write to an inmate, but they're scared or they don't know how to start. They don't know if it's safe. She's got some opinions, some ideas that she wants to share. All right, we got a couple inmates that were supposed to be calling in, but for some stupid reasons with their prison, they weren't able to. The phone number got approved, and then the phone wasn't allowing them to call, and then another guy got transferred and couldn't use the phone. So these guys have been waiting for us to promote them for quite a long time, and I'm going to start with Donzel Lowe, who's number R06986. You can write to him at P.O. Box 112, Joliet, Illinois. That's where my old friend Brett grew up, in Joliet. He got bullied a lot by a girl, but we won't share the details of that just in case Brett's out there listening. Sorry to bring that up. Hard times, I know. He was like 9. He turned out okay, though, so that's the good news. Joliet, Illinois, 60434. Again, that's Donzel, D-O-N-Z-E-L-L, Lowe. Number R06986. You can also hook up with them on connectnetwork.com. 25 years ago, Donzel was convicted of murder for a drive-by gang-related shooting. and he's been there ever since. There's some discrepancies as to whether or not he was actually in the car when the shooting happened. I don't know the answer, but you can look up his appeal. It's interesting to read on, what's that website? IllinoisCourts.gov. He said, "You just made the day amazing by clicking on this profile. In life, sometimes we got to try something new, so try me," he says. "I've been behind the bricks for 26 years. He's 44 years old, and he has 360-degree waves," he says, "and about 30 tattoos. His favorite tattoo is his grandma's name that he has on his neck." You can also you can hook up with him through connectnetwork.com and just search for Donzel Lowe in the state of Illinois. He's been down 26 years, was convicted at age 18 of the drive-by shooting, the murder. He's a Lakers and 49er fan, grew up in Chicago, loves soul food. He reads and writes poetry, and every day he wakes up and he imagines the locks clicking and the doors finally sliding and finally being able to walk out of there. But it hasn't happened yet. He said his last summer when he was free was in 1998. So he's just looking for somebody that wants to be there for him and, as he says, rock with him. He's a big guy, 260 pounds. Got another one for you on the hook, Gregory Oliver, 29, almost 30. You can write to him at Gregory Oliver, number 111-7963. That's Southwoods State Prison. You can write SWSP if you prefer. 215 South Burlington Street, Bridgeton, New Jersey, 08302. Or you can look up number 111-7963 on jpay.com or on the JPay app in the state of New Jersey, and you'll find Gregory Oliver, who was in something called the Brick Squad Street Gang in Paterson, New Jersey, back in 2014 on the corner of Temple and North 6th Street. He was involved in an ambush shooting of a rival gang member, killed one of the gang members, and a stray bullet left a female with brain damage who wasn't involved in the gang, apparently. So he's been in for 10 years now. He got a grip of time. I don't know, it's something like 30-year sentence. The defense attorney argued that Greg had grown up with the father in jail his whole life, and his mom was addicted to crack. I know that doesn't excuse killing your rival gang member, but it got him down to a sentence where he could at least get out at some point. In his profile, he writes, "I've always been an open and generous person. Laughter, teasing, and joking are very much a part of my character. I enjoy all the normal things that a person likes, including drawing, gaming, comic books, and technology. Sure, I'm somewhat limited as to what I can do in here. And yes, prison has cornered me into keeping a close watch on my feelings, but even so, I've been able to use the adversity and difficulties in here to my advantage by reconstructing many of my old habits. Throughout my incarceration, I've truly learned to appreciate life's simplest gifts, and I hope one day I can meet someone who's willing to live life to the fullest with me, someone who's not afraid to take a chance, someone who can share some of my dreams and then accomplish those dreams together as one. So many people tell me that's not even possible through a pen pal site. Why even try? But I disagree. I might as well try because I'm sure someone out there is willing to go that extra mile even when their tank reads empty." He says he's not looking for sympathy. He holds himself accountable for his mistakes. All he's looking for is empathy and someone who understands his feelings, and in return, he promises to do the same for you. Again, Gregory Oliver, jpay.com, number 111-7963. So those guys, you know, they were locked up for, both of them, for murder, violent crimes, in there for a long, long time. Other guys that are locked up for a long, long time include Trent Buddita, who was on the show a few months back, who got, you know, almost as much time as those that were in for shooting rival street gangs, got 16 and a quarter years for selling an ounce of marijuana. And a woman named Amy, who happened to hear that episode, she's written to over a dozen inmates who are locked up for drug crimes in similar situations as Trent. She's also been writing to Trent himself for over a year now. And I was excited when she wanted to call in. It looks like she's on. Is she on the line now? Can we get her through here? Line, what is it? Line 9. Line 9, let's get Amy on.
Hi. Hi.
Oh, I'm so glad. Hang on one second. Bumping the microphone here. Sorry about that. I'm so glad you called. The other day I was sitting on the computer late at night, and I read this story about Jamie Johnson, the country singer who had just gotten arrested with some marijuana in his car. And then I see these headlines. He's facing up to 6 years in prison for the marijuana arrest. And I'm thinking, like, how do I tie this? Because it's so interesting. How do I tie this into the Prison Pen Pal podcast? I was like, I don't know how to tie it in. And like minutes later, I get an email from you. And I mean, it was just so serendipitous. It was almost like a gift from God's came out of the sky and just handed me this, because this is great stuff.
Oh, how funny. And I had just gotten a letter from Trent. And in it, he said, hey, did you listen to the podcast? And so I was like, oh, I got to do that right now. So I listened while I was right back to him.
So Trent Buddha, Daisy and I interviewed him back in August. And whoever doesn't know the story, I mean, it's quite a story. The guy, I mean, long story short, let's see if we can hang on the side. Let me just play a little clip from that show if I can play it.
I was in 16.25 years, actually, at 2.5 on there as Man. Well. So
that's horrible.
So I did get that for sales of 1 ounce of marijuana.
So, yeah, so Trent, I mean, he sells 1 ounce of marijuana. Not even all at one time. It was like...
Not even all at once. He right? was just helping a friend out.
Isn't that crazy? And 1 ounce, and he gets over 16 years. When, I mean, you've got people that are murdering people in other states getting maybe 8 years. Just unbelievable to me.
I read his story. Maybe it's been a year. I just saw his story in the Phoenix New Times. But I have been a pen pal for cannabis prisoners since the beginning of the pandemic, because you're triple lockdown. Like normally you're out and about, you can mill around in the, you know, the main part. But there were no phones, no computers for emails, and people were in their cells because of the pandemic. So that's when I first saw something on Facebook from Freedom Grow that was like, hey, be a pen pal. And I'm like, why not? I got nothing better to do. I'm locked down. I live by myself. I can do what I want. But just knowing how much of a lockdown happened for them just really pulled on my heartstrings. So,
I
started writing to about a dozen of them.
And a lot of people are going to be like, man, I want to do what Amy does. Cause you wrote to us that you work in the cannabis industry, which I mean, I think 80% of the world wants to have that for a job. And then you also work at home. Is that like a dream?
Well, I've been working for myself for a long time. I'm a marketer.
Okay.
And when we got medical here in Arizona, like around 2010, the shops finally started opening in 2012. And I was doing social media. And then I met a guy who had a pre-roll or a rolling paper company. And so I was like, yeah, let's do it. I've been smoking pot since 1987. So I just kind of evolved my clientele. I got rid of my Gen Pop clients because I didn't want anyone to be uncomfortable. There's still stigma around cannabis. So I have worked from home for a long time for myself. The cannabis industry sounds fun, but there's no money in it. Nobody gets paid. Nobody makes anything. Nobody pays their bills. Mm. It's very frustrating right now because of the federal legalization or federal prohibition. But like I said, I was writing to about 12 people, and I could just imagine these guys sitting in their cells, and I would just look and make sure they were nonviolent. That's the thing I'm concerned with. But most of them are not. They don't have any violent offenses or anything. And I'm just picturing like this guy sitting in his cell, and all of a sudden this letter comes from Amy in Phoenix, like, what the hell is happening?
Yeah, it's so cool, though, when that happens. I mean, that makes their day for real when, they see a letter, they see, like, handwriting they don't recognize. A lot of times the guys can see the mail stacked up kind of on a desk, but they can't get to it yet, and they see it's their name on there, and they're like, who the hell is Amy? You know what? And it's, like, so exciting, I know, for them to open these. So you wrote to 12. So were you picking, in particular, people with marijuana-type offenses like Trent was?
Yes.
Or okay.
Yes. They had to be nonviolent cannabis prisoners, because that's what my focus has been my entire life. I've always been an activist. So I've always been for not legalization, but access for everybody. And a bunch of them got clemency in January 2021 from former now governor or president-elect Trump. He did do a lot of clemencies of cannabis people. So a lot of them I never heard from again. Some I heard from when they got back out, but then, you know, whatever their lives were, I was there to help them while they were in prison. And then they get out and they go about their own lives and, you know, totally fine with that. I'm glad I could help when you needed it most.
It's so interesting, too, because you are in the Phoenix area, and I believe that's where Trent was arrested.
Yeah, I didn't even know that until I saw it in like the local entertainment, the Phoenix New Times. Yeah. And I was like, oh, this kid, and I say kid in the most loving way because I'm almost 54. So I was like, oh, this kid got a real shit deal here. And I just thought, oh, I'm going to look him up on the Bureau of Prisons and I'm going to send him a letter. And he wrote back. I got a letter within a week.
The guy is, because we talked to him a lot longer than what we were able to put onto the podcast, but I mean, this guy's crazy intelligent. I mean, smart, smart guy.
Oh, yeah. He's taking advantage of every single option he has to educate himself and to further himself along in life. He is in a place that's a true correctional facility. And they give them so many opportunities where he is to enrich their lives. And most of them don't take advantage of that, but that's another thing that keeps my communication going with him is he wants to better himself. We, in our letters, we have five questions we ask each other. Okay. And it could be stupid, like what's your favorite type of pizza or who's your favorite actress? But he goes deep sometimes because he takes a lot of philosophy and he reads a lot of self-help books. So sometimes his get a little deep and I'm like, oh, I haven't thought about that in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, the guy, it just,
he's so smart.
The story just breaks my heart. And I, you know, I always make my wife listen to the podcast when we're on road trips. And I don't think she's a big, she's like, oh God, another podcast. But she hears the story, you know, as we presented it. And in her mind, and probably in other people's minds, which upsets me, but what can I do about it? It's like, oh yeah, sure. You know, because basically Trent runs into this guy in a parking lot of a 7-Eleven, and the guy strikes up a conversation and says, hey, do you have anything I could sell? I'm running a pawn shop. And I think to a lot of people, they hear that and they think, oh yeah, sure. He didn't know it was something shady. You don't just go over to 7-Eleven and start doing business deals with a stranger standing next to a car in a parking lot. And I get that. At the same time, I told her, but it's a freaking ounce of marijuana. Like, it, you know, he's not ordering a hit on somebody, right?
Yeah.
He's not stealing.
There's no fentanyl. It's from a dispensary, so it's been tested.
Unbelievable to me to get 16 years. And the dichotomy, now knowing you, working in that industry, so you're marketing, is it medical marijuana that's legal in Arizona at this point?
Or? We have adult use. No, okay. We have adult use. So
I mean, it's pretty much freaking, it's legal for everybody. And so you're making this a career, maybe 20 miles from where he's doing 16 years for the same thing.
Well, you think that's outrageous. One of my other pen pals is serving life for pot.
Pedro Moreno, is that the guy?
That's my guy.
Yeah.
So he became one of my pen pals. We've written back and forth, and I'm friends with his daughter now. I found her on Facebook because I felt just such a connection to him because his whole family is out. He's the only one still in prison. High Times did a huge story on him. And now there's a documentary being made. It's just about done. The trailer just came out about him. But Pedro Moreno is the nicest man. He buys ice cream for other guys. Like, I wrote a clemency letter for him. It's on Biden's desk right now. And I put in there, President Biden, he loves ice cream too. So just trying anything possible to get him out of prison. He's been in there for over 30 years.
You know, I heard Biden the other day like mumbling about strawberry ice cream or something. Maybe he had just read that.
He always talks about ice cream. It's his favorite thing.
Oh, okay.
That's why I wanted to make that connection with him say, hey, this man, and he buys from his commissary for other people in prison. So he's just a very nice man. I don't hear from him as much anymore. I think it's just, kind of depresses him.
I mean, it's sick to me.
It's very sick.
And when people know a little about the criminal justice system and how horrific it can be, you can have a law sometimes from county to county, but especially from state to state, where something in Nevada could be completely legal. And then that same thing in Arizona, maybe just 20 miles, you know, away, somebody could do a life sentence for. And
well, you could do a life sentence for transporting it across state lines, regardless of the legality in the two states. But here's a funny, I don't know how old you are, but I feel like maybe you remember the O.J. Simpson trial and his lawyers, and one of his lawyers was F. Lee Bailey.
Yes.
F. Lee Bailey lost his law license because of a pot case, just like Pedro Moreno's.
Wow.
And that guy was my pen pal for a little bit.
Was he really?
And then he got out. Yeah. And when I looked him up, because I look everybody up, I want to see the cases just because I'm also nosy.
Yeah.
But yeah, when I saw that, I read the story and they were like, F. Lee Bailey was disbarred due to his actions or whatever during this trial. I was like, I remember that guy. I remember that because I'm from Buffalo, and that guy, the third word I said in my life was OJ, because he was for the, he was playing for the Buffalo Bills. His name was on our stadium. And when he was in that truck with Al Colling, I was like, oh my God, leave OJ alone. And then I was like, oh shit. He, he killed his wife.
I was working at a little tiny country radio station in in a little city called Chico, California. And I walked into work.
I used to live up there. I lived in Weed.
Oh, did you really? Yeah. We're actually not too, we're in Anderson now, so we're not too far from there. I'm there in Chico and I walk in and I remember like the, back then there were no flat screens or whatever. There was like a little 15-inch TV kind of in the newsroom window. And everyone's just mesmerized watching that truck driving, you know, that chase on the freeway. I'm getting
away. The white Ford Bronco.
Yeah, that's right. And I don't even think people did their proper show that day. We were just like pushing buttons, playing music, and watching the OJ coverage, which was very memorable.
Yeah, and that was before social media. Can you imagine?
Oh, man, I can't imagine.
Can you imagine the conspiracy theories?
I can't even imagine, like, anything.
I can't imagine.
You said something really interesting, which I think is important for other people to hear, when you wrote to us that you have these pen pals, but you're not looking for a boyfriend, and I think you put an LOL after that. You're not looking for a boyfriend, and I think it's important for a lot of people to know that you can be a pen pal to an inmate, and it doesn't have to be romantic. It doesn't have to be someone you're going to marry. I feel like people watch Love After Lockup and these shows, and they think that's all it is dating and love letters. But there's just so much more, and it sounds like with the 12 people that you were writing, I mean, it was a platonic friendship where you guys asked questions. The people that are maybe hesitant to do that, I mean, we get like girlfriends, ex-girlfriends, and they see their ex-boyfriend or whatever on our penpals.buzz site, and they flip out. They're like, what the fuck are you doing? You know, you're cheating on me, you bastard. You know, they get so angry. But a lot of the guys, legitimately, they're not there trying to meet a new girlfriend. They just enjoy having somebody to share
human
thoughts
contact.
With.
Yes.
So
I told Trent, I think in my first letter, I'm like, think of me as the cool aunt. That's who I am. I'm the cool aunt. I have lots of life experience I can help you with, and, you know, just be friends. I don't understand why everything has to be romantic between men and women. I have more guy friends than female friends, and I would never cross that. Like, I don't have that interest in them, but honestly, it was mostly the pandemic and just feeling so badly that they couldn't get visitors.
Do you remember the very first person that wrote you back?
I do. It was Leroy Lavelle. I think he's getting out this spring. I think February or March. He is in South Carolina. He's originally from Jamaica, but his family's in Queens. So I had the New York connection with him. And he's another aspiring entrepreneur. He always has ideas. And we used to talk on the phone a lot, too. He would tell me, like, the foods he was cooking and things like that. So I'm sure I will hear from him when he gets out.
So just, I mean, so many people have misconceptions. So you've been doing this for a while now, you said, well, since the pandemic,
just
primarily.
Just about 5 years.
If you were to go on to, like, a TikTok or something and watch some of our ads, you're just going to see all those guys want to do is manipulate you, and all they want is your money, and they're just going to use you, and they might get out and come to your house and murder you. And I mean, just these horrible things. Talk a little like what your thoughts are on those opinions that people have. And I feel like they're misconceptions.
Well, I think there are a lot of misconceptions about prison, period. I've watched every prison show there is, and I've been upset. I grew up 5 miles from Attica. So that riot happened when I was very young, and that was the threat from your parents. Oh, you're going to end up in Attica. I understand people feeling like that. But first of all, Trent Buddida, who helped a guy get an ounce of weed over a couple months, he's not going to get out and murder me. He's not a murderer. He's not a violent offender. Are there violent offenders that are going to get out? Yep. Are they going to look for you? Most likely not. They're not going to be able to get transportation to your house.
Right.
That's how I feel. I don't feel afraid, but there are a lot of judgmental people out there, and there's no reason to respond to comments like that. Just, you know, let people think that it could be a girl who, like you said, maybe was with somebody who went into prison and knew that they were cheating with, you know, romantic relationships. But there's misconceptions about everything in life. There's still, like I said, there's still stigma against cannabis, which is the weirdest thing to me.
What's your thought on why that stigma's there?
Honestly, it's the war on drugs. It's Nixon. It's Anslinger. Any white woman who smokes pot would have black men chasing them. Like, that was the misconception during the 20s, 30s, 40s. And then we had Nixon and the war on drugs and Nancy Reagan.
Yeah.
Well, we also grew up in a culture where if you have a can of Bud in a hot tub, you're going to end up with a pretty girl. We have an alcohol-fueled culture. I've been sober for 21 years. I won't touch the stuff.
Uh-huh.
But we grew up in an era where drugs like alcohol and tobacco were the norm and they were accepted. And then people, they start smoking pot. They're drinking less. They're getting off of cigarettes. And that is what fuels the economy in this country, are big pharma, big alcohol, and tobacco. So that stigma is perpetuated. Thankfully, it's getting less. You know, we have a lot more TV shows where you'll see someone, a bong on a table in the background. But until we really realize the problems in this country aren't cannabis, it's alcohol. I mean, it causes cancer. We don't talk about that. We talk about smoking causing cancer, but people have never talked about the health dangers of alcohol. And let's be honest, it's racist as well. It comes from Native cultures and south of the border, and it was a huge part of Black culture in the 20s and 30s and jazz and everything. That's why there is so much stigma still, is because of racism, which has so many fucking, and I say stupid, layers. I think racism is ridiculous. It's the stupidest thing to me, but it's there. And I think part of the stigma on cannabis is racist.
Your other guy is Hispanic, right?
Pedro Moreno. Pedro. Leroy Lavelle is Black. He's from Jamaica. You know what's really funny is that out of all of the guys that I was writing, and I did write to a few women, but I never heard back from them. Probably because the guys thought they could get a girlfriend, but the only one who was inappropriate, and he went to prison with his wife, and I said, "Does your wife want a pen pal too? I'd love to write to her."
Yeah.
He started getting inappropriate with me
and
being sketchy, like, "Well, you know, she's never going to read these." And I was like, "What?" And so I stopped writing to him, or he might have stopped writing to me. I don't know, but I'm not putting up with that. But it was the white guy. It was the white guy who became a jerk. Everybody else was like, "Amy, like, I love this, blah, blah, blah." Everybody was so friendly and just appreciative. And yeah,
wow.
I'm just like, come on. It just was really disheartening. I was like, all right, whatever.
I guess 1 out of 12 isn't bad. Did you have, because a lot of people are so concerned with this, they're using me for money, they're going to take all my money.
I've never sent anybody money. Yeah, I've never had anybody ask me for money or pressure me. Nothing like that. In fact, Pedro Moreno, I sent him a book But I wanted to. It was something that I had asked his daughter about, and because he loves to read, and I was like, hey, you know, do you think this would be cool? I really like being a part of it. I like maybe giving somebody hope and happiness for 30 seconds it takes them to read my letter.
Now, in one of your emails to us, you wrote about potentially doing a Zoom letter writing party.
If anybody is interested, I would do like a Zoom letter writing party to make people feel more comfortable doing it their first time.
Oh, wow.
If anybody ever asks, I'm more than willing to do that with people just to make them feel comfortable.
You'll get on to Zoom with them and help them out?
Yeah, we'll write together and just, you know, give pointers on what to say and what not to say, you know.
That's such a gracious offer, and nobody has ever made an offer like that before. So any women or even men who are out there thinking about writing to an inmate, if you want Amy to help you out via Zoom, just give us a call here at penpals.buzz or email us. Our number is 888-273-6725. That's 888-2-PENPAL. Or you can email us help@penpals.buzz, and we'll put you in touch with Amy in Arizona, and you guys can have your own little letter writing party.
Whatever makes people feel good about giving back, because I just think that we should be doing more of that in this world.
I think you can find really strong connections in places that you often would least expect to.
Yeah. And the things I have in common with some of these guys was just like, whoa, like that's pretty cool. You never know who you're going
to
meet.
Hey, Amy, thanks. So it's been really great talking to you. I was really excited to get your perspective.
Good luck with everything, with your podcast and everything. And I'm here for whoever wants to chat about it.
Fantastic. Have a great Thanksgiving and holiday time as well. Okay.
You too. Thank you.
It's lockdown time for Big Steve. But he'll be back Monday with another edition of the PenPals.buzz podcast. To be a guest on our show, email podcast@penpals.buzz or call 888-2-PENPAL. PenPals.buzz is a division of Snaptura Inmate Services.